This is Briar Clough, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Greenbush, Minnesota. And we're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Whitney Pittman, along with Randy Conan and Tyler Donaldson. During a Senate Committee on Appropriations hearing, Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack spoke about the effects of the H1N1 virus on the ag industry and trade.
We've made a concerted effort to reach out to our trading partners, and so far I think there's been an understanding and appreciation for the amount of information we've provided our trade partners. We've seen very little restriction, if you will, a couple of countries expressing concerns, but for the most part our trading partners understand that we're on top of this, that we expect and anticipate our dairy cows to recover, that our milk is safe, and that it's very, very low risk to people.
Research into the virus is ongoing.
We're going to continue to do a lot of research on this so that we understand and appreciate the transition and transmission of this. We know that there's heavy virus in the milk. We know that that milk, when it's pasteurized, is safe. But there may very well be a circumstance, a situation where we need to be ever vigilant in terms of biosecurity, especially around the milking parlor, in terms of having access to what may be virus-filled milk that in turn can be transitioned.
Dairy farmers are banning visitors to their operations and may have taken to cutting down trees to prevent wild birds near their dairy operations and the spread of avian flu. But there have been no calls for quarantining infected livestock. USDA is recommending minimizing the movement of cattle and testing milk samples from cows if they must be moved. The agency is also reminding dairy operations to disinfect equipment and vehicles used near dairy cattle.
Minnesota Representative John Burkle of Badger, Minnesota, serving on both the Agriculture and Environment Committees, says lawmakers are busy ahead of the third legislative deadline coming up on Friday. A proposal in the Environment Committee could impact animal agriculture.
There's a proposal in the environment bill to require an environmental impact study, an EIS, for any farm feedlots with animal units over 10,000. So a 10,000 animal unit farm would by default have to submit an EIS, which, you know, given the size and scope of an EIS, would probably eliminate anybody's ability to expand. And, of course, once again opens the door to the conversation about dropping that threshold to 5,000 in the future or 1,000 animal units in the future. And it just puts the brakes on any expansion in animal agriculture in Minnesota.
Burkle hopes the provision does not make it through the conference committee.
I'm hoping we don't see that proposal come out of conference committee. It's in the House version. I don't believe that provision is in the Senate bill. So that's a good sign that, you know, as things progress, we can maybe see that taken out as well. I would say we'll see that proposal probably taken out in conference committee, I would hope. That's going to be the goal anyway.
Center West and Southern Brazil received timely, much-needed beneficial rains. World Weather Incorporated says rainfall was heavy enough to raise soil moisture to support second crop development in coming weeks. World Weather says southern Brazil also received significant rains. Argentina's main production areas received significant rainfall the past week, stalling harvest and increasing crop quality concerns.
Well, rains continue to move northward across the upper Midwest and across the northern plains region. End-on rainfall totals have been mostly less than a quarter of an inch. However, Holloway in west central Minnesota reporting 1.47 inches. Elbow Lake at 62 hundredths. Rosse, Minnesota, 25 hundredths. Hillsboro, North Dakota, 12 hundredths. Grand Forks, 7 hundredths. Brockett, North Dakota, 58 hundredths. And out west, Dickinson reporting 65 hundredths.
The U.S. House Ways and Means Committee held a hearing today featuring testimony from U.S. Trade Representative Katherine Tai. Her testimony provided an update on trade issues.
Through the USMCA, we are actively championing the interests of our farmers and agricultural producers. We have pursued two cases now against Canada's dairy tariff rate quota allocation measures, and we are currently in the midst of challenging Mexico's restrictive measures on biotech corn before a panel.
Tai says there has been $21 billion dedicated to bolstering trade that impacts agriculture and rural communities.
We are also opening markets for hardworking American families and communities, especially our rural communities. Through negotiations, our administration has secured over $21 billion in new agricultural market access in the last 3 years. For example, after the U.S. and India terminated 7 disputes at the WTO last year, India also agreed to remove retaliatory tariffs on several U.S. products. This means improved access for chickpeas, lentils, almonds, walnuts, and apples, benefiting farmers across the country, including Michigan, Oregon, California, and Washington. This means more market access for turkey, duck, blueberries, and cranberries, benefiting our farmers in North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Virginia, Massachusetts, and Minnesota.
India has banned sugar exports for the time being. American Sugar Alliance Director of Economics and Policy Analysis, Dr. Rob Johansson, says the Indian government's decision is based on food security.
Typically, what will often happen in India, not all the time, but we see it with some other commodities too, is they will put out export bans on certain commodities to make sure that prices for those commodities inside of India stay low, and oftentimes that's around elections. So they've got, 1.4 billion people, and they want to make sure that food security is at the top of a lot of their political platforms. And part of that is keeping domestic food prices low for their population.
India has also expanded ethanol production from sugarcane. Johansson says their government is continuing to look for balance.
When they have surplus, they'll just dump it on the world market. And when they have lower production, which they did this year, a little bit of drought issue, so production was down a little bit. But they are keeping all of that sugar internally. And the next thing to watch is to see how much sugar they allow to be used for the production of ethanol. So they've invested recently in a lot of ethanol capacity from sugarcane, and so they will also have government policies that sort of whiplash the amount of sugar availability based on both the export availability, but also in terms of how much sugar they allow to be used for ethanol production.
This is the Red River Farm Network.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Renewable energy advocates are voicing their concerns to maintain conservation and renewable energy funding in the next farm bill. DAK Renewable Energy CEO David Kohlsrud says conservation funding is one of the easiest paths to keep rural America thriving.
I'm thinking we need to preserve that funding because a lot of that funding is for, for conservation. A lot of that's got to do with, growing more with less and more farming practices, which improves not only water quality, but, soil health and everything else. But I think the key to that is the fact that a lot of our innovation in agriculture and in markets now, whether it be sustainable aviation fuel or bioplastics or any fuels, it all starts with the farmer.
Kohlsrud says the conservation practices are extremely important to rural communities.
There's people out there right now making a living, helping farmers lower their carbon intensity score and all of that. All those attributes of growing commodities here in the Midwest are going to be attached to those commodities, and it's going to be followed all the way through the processing chain, and it's going to bring value back to the farmer. And we see that especially true with this movement towards sustainable aviation fuel, where all of that is how do farmers grow in that? But I think what you're seeing is with the money in the Inflation Reduction, it helps pay farmers to implement these practices.
The Minnesota State FFA Convention will officially kick off this Sunday. Minnesota FFA Executive Director Lavin Rada says this is a chance for students to showcase hard work and celebrate.
We actually have students who start arriving on Friday to help select our new state officer team, with those interviews starting on Saturday. But really, all of those FFA members show up on Sunday with their supporters to start competing on Sunday and throughout Monday. And then we wrap up our convention on Tuesday with all of our awards celebration. So we're ready to celebrate all the amazing things our programs have done this year.
The state convention provides students with more learning opportunities.
We have almost 3,000 students that will come with the purpose of competing in a career or leadership development event. These students have been preparing and gaining those career skills to prepare them for their futures. Whether those are careers are in agriculture, food, and natural resources, or outside of that, we know that when it comes to skills like interviewing for jobs, there's a sales competition, numerous speaking competitions, or even animal evaluation events or floral design, that those students are learning problem-solving skills and really just preparing for their future careers while also exploring different careers.
Van Onen Company CEO Jim Emter says traders continue to sell the grains on a couple of fronts.
Number one, we've got weather front that is favorable. I mean, when you look at rains April 15th, 16th, this is a favorable environment to get this precipitation. We've got plenty of time to get the crop on the ground yet. That's going to be a favorable token number one here. Now, if we all of a sudden get into the second week of the outlook, we're coming in here April 29th, the first few days of May, and we're all of a sudden seeing some bigger rains again, that's when the market can perk up on a spring story. But getting a wet story to play out when we've got drought conditions like we've got and abnormally dry, the soil is going to take this very well at this point. I think it's really a blessing in disguise, and the market's trading it that way. The second front is, you know, the energy markets.
Emter says the livestock market has a similar story.
Cattle have taken off that top edge now, and, you know, we kind of come in here to consolidation. So, again, as this market bounces back and forth, we had a great day yesterday. We're trying to follow suit on that today. Part of the problem here is us maintaining or getting back to more of a maintainable weight structure. Again, that's just going to happen through time, in our opinion, getting this cattle market more current, because the weights are making up for some of the supply shortages that we've had, and then just seeing continued demand. So if we can get those two things to come together, we can head back into a bull environment.
The average trade estimate for Friday's cattle on feed report expects on feed numbers to be up 2% from a year ago. The survey, which was compiled by the Wall Street Journal, expects placements to be down 7%, marketings to be down 11% from last year. USDA's cattle on feed report will be released at 2 o'clock Central Time on Friday. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. A warmer, drier winter has hay use down in the area. That's according to NDSU Extension Livestock System Specialist Carl Hoppe.
Now, this particular spring is drier than what we've had in the past few years. Although right now we're having a little bit of a rain event. But, you know, we used a lot less hay this year and feed resources than we would have normally used when we've had extended cold weather like we usually have in North Dakota. So I think a lot of farmers have more hay available to them this year just because they didn't use as much throughout the year. And we had a fairly decent hay season last year.
Warmer weather could mean earlier turning out to pasture for cattle.
Right now our cow herds are in the midst of calving, and we've had some decent weather, so hopefully the Z-zistance that usually shows up this time will be less pressure this year than in previous years. The grass is greening up, so we'll have to see how the weather progresses. We may end up having earlier turnout dates for pasture, but talking to our range people, never count when grass is ready to be turned out until the grass is ready to be turned out, so we don't know what's really going to be happening here. But grass is greening up. And, you know, a season's looking forward to. With cattle prices, there's a little bit of enthusiasm out here with cattle producers.
A look at markets before we leave you. Minneapolis May wheat, 1¾ cents higher at 6:30, 8¾. September, 2¾ higher at 6:56½. Chicago wheat down a penny and a quarter at 5:50½. Kansas City, 4 higher at 5:88. May corn futures a penny lower at 4:30½. July corn down a penny and three quarters at 4:42½. December corn down 2¾ at 4:66½. Soybeans, May futures 13¼ lower at 11:45¼. August soybeans 11 lower at 11:60½. November soybeans 9 cents lower at 11:58¼. Soybean meal down $2.50 at a ton at 3:35.90. Canola down 5.80 Canadian at 6:14.10. April live cattle $1.15 higher at 181.45. June live cattle $1.85 higher at 175.67. August live cattle $1.92 higher at 173.05. Feeder cattle April futures $1 higher at 240.55. And lean hogs, April, down 14 cents at $90.73, May, 17 cents higher. This is the Red River Farm Network.